Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
The school of Tupac, I'm a rival. You don't want to what?
Have me.
Hell, I'm not your average Negro.
Hold up.
Tez, I want to ask you a question real quick.
Let's just keep a real straight shot with no chaser. I'm going to get a little bit rough.
I'm here for those who really believe in the American process. All of us.
Straight shot, no chaser. With your girl, Tesla Figaro, on the Black Effect Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 hello. Oh, let me do my... Mr. Morgan is here. Y'all send some love. Shout out to the man that wrote all of SWV's top hits is in the building.
Hey.
There she is. Hey.
Hey. I don't know if you said it for real. It was an accident or what?
Of course. You, first of all, let me tell you something. I love you, period. Let's get that straight.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Do you see my page? How much shit I be talking? You the only person I know on this whole internet that not only talks her shit back
it up. That is so nice.
So let's just, that's real, real, real talk. Like, I'm serious. I feel you on a deep level. So I know I can write something for you.
I'm so honored. That's so nice. You never know who is watching or who is listening or who is what. And I just want to tell you, you know, while we have you, your gift, you know, has, and just no cap, which you know this, but your gift has absolutely changed the world. You know, I was so, oh, no question.
Oh, wow.
For my generation, especially, but in high school, when we were learning cosmetology, like, Week was literally the theme song, like, every single day, all of SWV's
Now, wait a minute. T,
you're
say
recording
that again,
okay.
Because I'm recording now.
I don't know if you're recording my head. But
say that shit again.
But no, is, it's, I mean, it's no, it's no question say? About it. It really was the soundtrack of, you know, our lives. And I'm not saying that in any cap or any, when I was watching the reality show and people were going back and forth on, you know, yeah. who had the biggest record and who made the biggest, you know, who's had the biggest impact. And SWV, yeah. I mean, truly had a major, major impact. In cosmetology school, we would listen to that record from beginning to end. And not even that, even when you look at, you know, Coco's nails and how everybody, I remember during that time, people wanted to have that look. They wanted yeah. to have the nails. They wanted to have the clothes. So it reminded me of also right. when Mary J. Blige got onto the scene. And she had an impact on right same time.
Same
so
time.
It wasn't,
same
it, and it's again, you know, I love Escape, but I didn't, it wasn't close to me, you know, like this, like SWV was and still is. Like when you play SWV in the club, right. everybody starts singing and I love trying to out sing. Be like, we're going to see how really get to that high note. Like that is the song that just means so much, you know, that said so much about love and how we felt, very similar to Mary J. Blige. So when I saw you on my line, I was like, wow, because
yeah.
it's just the people that, you know, have impacted you in ways that you don't even have a clue. When they're watching me in this space, it is truly, you know, a blessing. And really, I knew I would be on the microphone. You know, I thought maybe I would be rapping or doing something else. I didn't know it was going to lead me to politics. And it's just God's way of showing that you can rock the microphone in different ways. It doesn't have to be singing or rapping. It can really be in politics, because I look at that as a MC, as a microphone commander.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, to be honest, more important in a lot of ways, because you're speaking to issues that a lot of, I know you know this, I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to say it for your followers. A lot of people just don't have the time to do like what we do and really know these issues. So I don't know if you noticed, Steve, but my page has quietly gotten more important
right.
to people. And not so much that it's big, because I don't have to be following. But I noticed, listen, I'm getting noticed on the street when I be at various events and things
right.
for my information that I'm sharing and giving. Like, they're like, yo, I know you did music, but damn, like I listen to you. I watch your page.
Right.
to know what the
right.
hell is going on, because
right.
they don't
Absolutely.
Have time to consume it like
and
we do.
Perfect example, shout out to Lil Rel that just joined as well, and he's doing 50 movies a year, so does he have time to read everything from beginning to end, you know, on every issue? And not
right.
saying that he does not, but it is so important. And I talked about this at the Revolt Summit, that artists connect with people like myself and vice versa. And one of the artists in the audience thought I was challenging him or dissing an artist, and that wasn't it at all. What I was saying was, it's important that we have these relationships, because we can't do it all. I can't do everything. Let's just do the example of somebody does, like Charlamagne and I have been working together for years. If he's focused on pop culture most of his time, how can he watch everything beginning to end in politics? If I'm focused on everything in politics,
right.
how can I focus on everything in the room report? And I try to tell people that when they say, oh, you know, you should guest host. Why don't you guest host? And I say, no, it's not about that. Because if I do that, who's going to do this? So I can't keep up with every
right.
bit of gossip and everybody. You know, I touch on some things. People send me some stuff. You have to stay in the know. But it's important that we work with each other
right.
in our strengths to say, okay, we know in this area, this person is really going to be into that. And then this person is really going to be into this. And then we connect. And we're able to use, or not use, but work with artists and work with their platforms and touch their base, because you guys are going to touch people that I'm not going to get a chance
right.
to touch. And so Killer Mike really gets that. He understands, you know, how to work with artists and how to work with
totally.
Me, vice versa. We're not trying to clout chase or steal somebody's shine or whatever. No, that's not it at all.
Absolutely.
It's just being able to tap into those other you know, those other demographics, so you can know, hey, you know, we're paying attention on this side. If we look at, you know, the lawsuits with Marvin Gaye and Tupac and all of these songwriting
mm-hmm.
issues and that type of stuff, that's in our space. So if we're connecting and, you know, you got allies
Absolutely.
In this space, or people that at least know you and I know, you know, we know each other, then now there's a relationship and there should be more of that. Yes.
Can I say this? I just said something yesterday that I want to run by you and see if you think I'm on the right track with this. With as much as what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida, just blatantly just trying to erase our culture and history and like just doing it all for his whole, that selfish, I'm just going to just feed the base this bullshit, right? And then trying to erase our shit. I said on my post yesterday, and without trying to call out actual individuals, I was just like, listen, man, a lot of people that live in Florida got these huge fan bases and they're not speaking on it at all. They acting like it's not happening. All you got to do, maybe just some concerts to do some voter registration stuff with these young folks, because the young kids, they're not paying attention to what's happening in their own backyards and literally trying to erase them from history. I'm like, can somebody, any one of these artists that are in Florida, and there's a lot, T, I want to hear somebody do something like a concert or something, a voter registration for the awareness, just the simple awareness of what's happening. And this Gen Z generation, they own it. They want to do it. They want to fight. They want to know. They want to get into it. But I feel like some of these artists, and I'm not trying to diss them, I'm just saying, like, use your platform. You're right. And am I wrong?
Orlando, Florida is my political stomping ground. So I know Florida more than any other state as far as policies is concerned. And it's so interesting you said that, because when I ran for office, just for a few months in 2011. And the first person I reached out to was Plies in Florida. And I wanted to talk to him about, I was going by, you know, one of his favorite records, 100 Years. And I was like, Plies would be a real good connect to talk about mass incarceration, to talk about his story with his brother, to do all that. And at that time, I'll never forget, because I was able to get, I forgot what his manager's name was at the time. I think it's at the top of my head. It started with a T, I believe. But anyway. But I reached out to Plies and I wanted to connect. And this was before Plies got into like politics like he is. And I was told that he doesn't do that. He doesn't do political things. He's not interested in things political. And so now, because when I ran as a hip hop politician. I was really focused on trying to connect hip hop and politics. And one of the things, because I'm a poet, and so I did a lot of poetry. And one of the things I would say was the days of using hip hop as a political fundraising gimmick without accountability to heal the story that hip hop tells is over. And what I meant by that is not just having the concert, not just having the feel good, but actually saying the days of overusing that as a gimmick, whether it's for voter registration, whether it's for raising money, without accountability to actually heal the story that hip hop is talking about is over. And so that was the premise of what I really talked about. And it was South Carolina that actually took me serious as a quote unquote hip hop, politician trying to connect those words. So Geechee One magazine brought me up in 2012. First time I was ever on a stage. I'm doing hip hop, poetry and politics. I did a voter registration that weekend. I connected with the bikers. We did the female bikes. I went and jumped on a track. I did like a couple of different. Yeah, because that was my thing. What? I'd come in town, do something, go do voter registration or go do some type of voter outreach and then go jump on the track. So I would jump on the track, shout out to Dove Slim, and I would go and I did like some bars and because, bikers have their little themes and stuff like that. So that was really the thing. Like, how can we merge these worlds? And I'm so excited to see Plies 10 years now down the road. Whatever it was that sparked him to do it, and I know what it is, actually. Donald Trump, whether people like this or not, it's a fact. Donald Trump made politics entertaining. He was able to tap into the entertainment space because he's very entertaining. Whether you like him or not, people that did not pay attention to politics previously started getting involved. And that's where you saw the uptick of now entertainers now using their voice, now speaking up, now because what Trump was able to do to say, well, if he can talk about it, then I can talk about it. So he opened up,
learned about it.
That now allow people to get, now some of them are doing it for clout, some of them are doing it for clicks, some of them are doing it not for the right reasons, some of them are seasonal, and some of them are doing it because they just actually say, I give a damn. So I'm saying all that to say, this is a long haul game. And if I gave up on hip hop and politics then 10 years ago, I wouldn't be doing it now. And so it takes time, and it takes a lot of these folks, entertainers, have been connected to seasonal politicians, seasonal politicos. They don't know about me or know about other people. And then there's people like me in this space that want to be entertainers and they forget all about what they're doing over here and they want to do something else, whether it's entertainer or they want to run for office or they want to run a business or they have some goal of doing something else. and then they get out of this space. So right. What I'm saying all this say, Brian, is hasn't been a lot of consistency in relationships to say, hey, I want to get involved. How do I get involved? And who can I trust? And who can allow me in this space to be who I am and not just be used for voter registration? Because there's so much beyond that. My goal is not just about registering right. people to vote. There are more people registered to vote than we have more than enough. The question is, who are you voting okay. for? That is where the and why. And that is and where why. The lack of connection is. You don't have people saying, like in Orlando, Florida, Regina Hill, who it was about two or three of us that ran her campaign. She's been arrested 21 times. You know, she has cocaine felon. She ran and won the very first time, beating a 16-year incumbent. And she's ran and won three times since. Wow. So when you don't have people that are saying, hey, homie, you can do this. We can put you in these positions. And to be honest with you, Brian, it's not the governor position. That's great. But the real change happens at the mm-hmm. local level, at the mm-hmm. local city and county the level.
Local, sure.
So to answer your question, trying to loop it all back together, you have national conversations, you have local conversations. So when somebody out of town is saying, oh, man, look at what they're doing. They're taking their history out, taking their history, taking the books. And that doesn't necessarily always resonate to what is happening in that particular city. Right, right. Because although it's important, although what you're saying is important, when DeSantis, when the gas was really high and Joe Biden was saying, I can't do nothing about the gas. DeSantis cut a deal to lower the gas in Florida. That's what people are remembering. And see, that's how these Republicans get over, and I'm independent by the way, but that's how they get mm-hmm. over in these southern states. When you look right at here. Kemp and everybody saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And Kemp was giving out Kemp cards and during Corona, they were keeping the state open and keeping the money flowing. And people were able to swipe that Kemp mm-hmm. card over and over. That's what's resonating on the ground. Right. So when people are saying, oh man, y'all need to be da da da, and you need to be da da da, they're remembering what their city commissioner did, what their county person did, what their state rep did, what their U.S. Senate did. And Republicans have a very good strategic way of making sure that the money flows to the ground and taking care of their folks on the ground, that is how they get out the vote. It's always the majority of this country, if people lean on the left, lean more liberal. If you're independent, but you lean more left, I lean more left on a lot of things. It's way more liberals Absolutely. Who yes, are registered. Sure. So the question is not who's registered. The question is, going into my gangbanging analogy, who is gangbanging the hardest? If you're from the 90s, and a lot of people don't know, I realize a lot of people don't know this, but if you're in the Midwest or the West Coast and you understand gangbanging, Bloods were always the minority. Just like yeah. Republicans, red, are always a minority. Bloods carry their flag on the right. Guess what the conservatives are? On the right, red. It's always been, back then, it was always more Crips. But why is it that my neighborhood and I grew up in Piru, how was it we were able to sustain being surrounded by all Crips? How was it that Inglewood in California was able to sustain being surrounded by all Crips? So there's a method to that when you look at politics. How is it that Republicans are able to sustain and be the majority in the House, but not the majority in the country? Well, that's because our gangbanging is all wrong. And the answer usually is, let's get more people registered to vote. No, that's not. Let's get more people ready to run for office. Let's get more people to put on the ballot. Ah. Let's get more people to split the vote. Let's get more people
Like your girl did. Like your girl did in Florida.
That's what my push the line is all about. Politics till something happened. The training that I did in Atlanta, we had 300 people come from all over the country. Puff was instrumental in making that happen. And so I was able to laugh 10 years down the road. It was literally 10 years. When from the first time that I said hip hop and politics to be working with Puff to make sure that those 300 people were able to come from all over the country without having to pay a dime to be fed three times that day. So that's mm-hmm. how I know that I was walking in God's Dope. Purpose, because it was 10 years to the day. You know what 10 means? 10 means complete. It means see those enemies no more. It means that it is all done. Mm-hmm. That's why Pharaoh had 10 different plagues. And so there's a poem that I do called DNA Twisted. And it talks about that, you know, about my journey and my life. And I wrote that 10 years ago. So I am.
You need to send me some of your stuff, because I can get inspired from that and write something from that. I definitely.
You
something else, man. Listen, it took me a long time to reach out and let mm-hmm. you know that I just was watching you. because I was like, wow, she ain't got time for no, you know, none of this music shit. But for you to be the person you are and have that background that you have, it makes total sense to me now. Because you brought it to me. That's like a hip-hop pop then era politico. I just think that's the dopest thing ever. Because I feel like I'm like that in a way.
When people say, you know, I wasn't going to say anything and I wasn't going to reach out, or somebody inboxed me and say, you know, I know you don't need to hear this, but XYZ. And I just want to speak to that because sometimes I really do need to hear it. Mm. You know, people don't know. I get way more negative than I get positive. And we have been conditioned to be quiet on the positive and loud on the negative. And I'll hear people say, even men, like, if, let's just say you meet a woman, you know, I don't want to give you the big head, but you look good. Or I don't need to tell you this. We have to be okay with loving each other because I'm living my life loving on you. Even if you don't know me, everything that I'm doing is loving on you. So the hesitation for people to say, hey, sis, I appreciate what you're doing. I just want to speak to people that not all of us do it for ego. Some of us do it for fuel. Some of us really might be on our knees for real and really have to say, how do I do this another day? Mm-hmm. How do I take another death threat? How do I put myself in danger another day? How do I whatever? And it might be just that one message, that one whatever to say, you know what? I'm watching you and I appreciate what you're doing. And it's not for ego for me. It's for fuel. And I find it so interesting because when people do it, they do it, they hide it in the inbox. They're afraid to say it in the comments. Well, you know, I don't want nobody to think I'm cloud chasing. Right. I don't want nobody to think I'm being a simp. Or I don't want nobody to think that I'm looking, you know, that I'm trying to get attention. And it's so amazing how afraid we are to love on each other when you are literally watching me give my life or somebody like me every day loving on mankind. So anybody that pours as much out, don't you think I need something? And you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know, you know, that I don't have my parents. You don't know that I don't have, you know, close family or whatever. You don't know. And so when we love on each other, shout out to Melanie in the building who's here in the comments, who I've been loving on her 10 years, you know, telling her, Melanie, run. And because she reached out, hey, Tez, you know, I'm thinking about running. I'm thinking about, guess what? She just ran for office a couple of months ago, and guess what? She won. First time ever. So when we don't connect with each other, slowing down the process. We're literally slowing down the process. All the things that you and I could have done by now, all the things that we could do, what if we never did? All because we're afraid to say, or we're hesitant. We've been conditioned. We've been conditioned to not show each other love. And it really does stop progress in this movement for sure.
Right. One thing I noticed about me and you that we have in common, and I think is what drew me to you, is that you aren't afraid to engage. And like when somebody says something incorrect, you're not trying to tear them down. You just want to have them have the correct information. And I have that. That's a strong part of who I am. And a lot of my friends in the business, they be like, why are you talking to these people? Yeah. You don't have to talk to these people. You Brian Allen's
well, I do in engage, but like, I will get crazy? Petty on like, folks to and tear your ass down to the ground. Just for
and I love that. And I think it's dope. No, that's what I love about engage. You. I think because, I don't know.
No, I'm petty. I'm telling you. I
know this.
I engage. I have very productive conversations, but I will get petty as hell. I say the dozens. I do all that. But
and I love it because to me, that's the realest shit. Like, I mean, that's like real life. People, and you know what, T, like, maybe that's what I keep going back to. Get, when I was, like, checking you out for the very first time, I was like, man, nobody's talking to, like, T. I'm just loving it. Like, and I've been loving it for years. But, like, the fact that you like my work and any of that stuff,
ladies,
I never even thought about
it. Put a 5 in the chat if you are an SWV fan, in case you're just now joining us. Let's just run down the resume quickly on the songs that you wrote so that so people can know who they actually talking to for real.
I wrote Weak. I wrote I'm Swimming to You, Rain, Right Here, Anything. You're Always on My Mind. I'm the guy singing that one with them.
Let's talk about
my new stuff. That's what I was going to test you on, TC. Yeah, did you know that I'm on Khalid's On the Way? I did that with Khalid. Yeah, and did you know I'm on Drake's
album?
I did a joint called 9 on there. Yes, ma'am. Did you know
I'm on Wale's last album? Run the receipts!
Did you know I'm on Nas's King's Disease 2 with a featuring me and Charlie Wilson called No Phony Love, produced by me and Hit Boy. Did you know I'm on Tamar Braxton's album with a joint called Never from a few years back? That's probably dope. People don't know that's a dope ballad. Check it out. All these things I'm telling you, you can check out on my Apple Music called The Songwriters. I put it all in one place. People don't know I did Layla Hathaway, Martha Wash, Faith Evans. I'm on her one of her albums called It's Beauty. It's
that's all music. You can't even keep Apple up music, with you. You just like, I don't roll for the best of the best. So.
You know what? And I love it because, like, everybody just thinks it's just SWV, and it's so not. I'm really active right now. I worked with Kanye when he did my gospel versions of Rain and Week in 2020 because it was totally crazy. And you feel me? Like, I'm out here. I'm out here. And I'm working with the new kids. There's this new artist, Nefertiti, Avani. She signed to Snoop. She's amazing. I write with her. There's Jane Hancock, who's also signed to Snoop on the new Death Row. Jane Hancock is one of the dopest ones in the game right now. She's from Oakland. That's my people. There's a lot going on, man.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought... in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Now, I know you're not a writer with the writer's strike, but I do want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, creatives. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Shout out to Tiffany, okay. Tiffany Red, and I'm part of the 100%. She's an advocate for getting our rights, the songwriter's rights. And so, yeah, shout out to Tiffany Red. People, please follow Tiffany Red and her movement. She's an amazing
force. What are some of the challenges, you know, that when it comes to some of the... I remember Deion Taylor was on the Breakfast Club last... Yeah.
Shout out to Deion. Yeah. And I know Deion.
And he was talking about, you know, a union for hip-hop. And I know people have talked about that before, never really went anywhere. And I was like, man, that would be just a really dope idea. So tell, since we have you here, what are some of the challenges as a writer? Because you guys are always in the background and people don't really understand, like, what's what. And I'll just say this little caveat, even though it's kind of aligned with it, but I just put up a post about people were upset that Wendy Williams, producer, you know, got fired. And so I responded to the tweet because they tagged me. And I responded to the tweet that people don't understand how critical your producer is in TV and radio. I mean, it's literally people walk in as a deal, package deal. Like, if I'm doing something, I have to have my own producer. It is so critical, you know, to make sure that you have your own producers, your own writers. That's very critical in TV and radio. So I'll tell you, that's actually very standard. And if they've been able to stay this long, that's a good thing. Because just because you see the outside of the show and you enjoy how good the show is on the outside, you have no idea, like, all the mechanics that is required, you know, to make that machine run, and producers are huge. So with that said, in the songwriting business, what are some of the challenges when you say advocating for songwriting? If you had to list like three or four things on challenges that you guys go through and having a lack of representation, or if you do have representation, tell us about that.
Right now, you're dead on. Like Tiffany just said on her page the other day, look at how having a union has made their position just strong, just having the union itself. In other words, songwriters can't seem to pull it together enough to put ourselves in a union like that and get ourselves together like that collectively. Because if you don't do it, you're not going to have the power. It seems like she just said, look at the example of what just happened. When the studios came to the table and the studios wouldn't budge, collectively, the writers were able to say, well, okay, then we're not going to work. And we don't have that power. So, in other words, if you don't come together as a whole to hold
the power,
you're not
going to have it. Do you think it's too competitive? Do you think it's too many silos? Do you think?
I think because music, unlike writing for television and those kinds of things, music is so divided by genre that's the thing. So, for example, it would have to be the R&B and the hip-hop writers with the rock writers, with the pop writers, with the K-pop writers, all song writers. Somebody, and Tiffany's trying so hard to do this, to bring the consciousness of it into one place. And a good place, good thing to do it in is what's happening in D.C. They're literally trying to change the laws. Spotify and them are trying to change these laws to where they don't have to pay us what they should have to pay it. So that's the focus point to me. The focal point is, do you want to get paid a fair wage? Yes or no? So if that's yes, then somebody has got to pull us together, all the genres together, to make that.
Does it have to be all the genres, though? Could it start with one and those who continue?
I think, but here's the deal. You know what's crazy? Like, think about it in terms of the writers. They don't break their thing down in genre. It's just writers. So I think it has to be enough of a powerful movement that it, and I got to put the country writers in there, because those are some of the, those are some of the strongest writers there are. So I feel like it has to be all the genres coming together for them to take us seriously. And really, if they thought you ain't getting another song right. or track until we get.
And so, so with that said, so now is, you know, movements are usually, you know, sparked out of a reaction to an action. And so now with AI now being used more, and, you know, artificial intelligence, for those that don't know, that are writing scripts and writing songs, all of that stuff.
Terrifying.
Do you think that would be a good, can, do you think AI could write a song like they could, like they're writing these scripts, or what, how does that affect the writing, the song business?
I think it's a disaster. A, you're taking the actual human soul out of the work. And that's the most scariest thing to me. And these, and I'll use Timbaland as an example. He just did a thing with Biggie. Did you see that? Okay. So check it out. Timbaland just did he always wanted to work with Biggie. So he took this AI thing and had a thing do a Biggie thing. And the comments, man, I was looking at the comments.
Feeling
people
it, yeah.
are not feeling that. No, because it's like, listen, right. that man had a spirit and a soul. That's what we love about Biggie. You can't take that. You can't
right.
outsource
and
that.
And it's kind of creepy.
And the whole idea, it is not only is it creepy, it's absolutely and the antithesis of why we love people and artistry and writing.
Yeah.
The reason why, okay, can I share something? A lot of people out here do, a lot of producers like me do song packs today. Like they give hell of what they do in one place that you can go purchase it. Like whether my keys, my vocals, like you can buy it in this pack. I've never done it because I'm like, that's like giving my soul away. Like when you're talking to me and I'm talking to UT and I hear who you are as an individual, I'm trying to craft a joint for you individually. I'm not going to put all my joints somewhere and outsource myself where somebody can be like, oh, you want a Brian Morgan joint?
Right.
Oh, here you go. It's in this sound pack.
Right.
Oh, hell no. Oh, no. Because right, then why right. do I exist? Why
and
then am I even
I'm
going
to look at that Biggie thing because that's interesting that Timbaland would do that. And it's interesting also, seemed like if he was going to do that, he would probably do it with maybe, well, he worked with Aaliyah, so I guess he wouldn't do anything again. But number one.
Well, that was in the comments a lot. People were like, and don't come for Aaliyah with that. They were on it. They were already on. They were ahead. They went right where you went. It's like,
and then you know how black people are. You know how we are, at least most of us, about the dead, too. Like, it's a, like, let's let that rest. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because the people ain't really with all that old hologram shit and all that. I remember when they did the Tupac hologram, perform it, and all of this.
Yeah. We don't want that.
We was
people
cool
reject
on that.
It's not natural. Number one, it's not natural. It is art, and to me, the whole letter A, the artificial part of it is the problem.
Right.
That's my problem with it. It's artificial. Well,
maybe,
you know what I'm saying? It's not,
you know, maybe that'll be something that can get you guys, you know, on the same page, because that's one of the things that I covered it earlier this week on Front Page News. They are asking for AI protection. You know, that's one thing that the writers are asking for.
Right. Because they source that material, T.
Right.
They're not just pulling it out their ass. They're sourcing it from what writers had written. Same thing with Biggie. The reason why Tim was able to do a Biggie thing is because they took the computer takes and analyzed Biggie's lyrics and then spits it back at him as what they thought his style is. To me, that is the most soul-sucking, crazy, scary, unnatural shit ever. And I'm going to tell you this. When I first saw Tim's post of
right,
it,
right.
I understood where he was coming from. He was coming from a place of,
right.
I always wanted to work with Biggie and I never got to, right? And I got it. And I watched that video and I was feeling him. Like, look, okay, Tim, you feeling that? Okay. And then when I looked at them comments, I was like, like, well, I want you to see, when you see it, the people went crazy, yo. And I get it because you're like, yo, if I die, I don't want somebody resurrecting me in the form of some artificial shit.
Yeah, that's wild.
No way. No way. I spent too much time trying to be the realest motherfucker I can be.
Right, exactly.
For you to do that.
And then just speaking of Tim, since we brought him up and, you know, you were talking about how do we get artists together and all that, and, you know, working with each other's platforms, that is something that I would love, you know, and I've said it multiple times, you know, with them hosting a Versus. Of, you know, and when you lend your platform to all of these other things, you know, one time, I remember Erykah Badu said it once. She was like, if you just do one record, just one record on your whole album that just at least you know, kind of balances things or centers things, or, you know, giving other people opportunities to be heard, you know, it does so much. And so I've been asking, I'm like, well, you know, people said, well, you could just do it yourself. I'm like, well, my platform's not that big. That's why Versus is Versus. And I said, why don't you do a Versus and have me and two or three others against, you know, two or three others, and not against in a way of a, you know, debate, but let it be a debate, but actually talk about ideas. That is how you really change the culture. When you talk about for the culture and you're not looking at, you know, what our role is, and I'm not just saying me, I'm just talking about in general. You know, people don't think about how important they need us until they get a case. People don't think about how important they need us until, you know, now you got to sue Tupac's family, suing for rights, and Marvin Gaye's family and George Clinton's family. You're not thinking about that. Or you're not thinking about, like, when I talk about Deion Taylor all the time, you're not thinking about the politics involved in, and he does, but just use him as an example, the politics involved in making a movie and being able to have muscle. It's called muscle and hustle. And so when you have your hustle, you can have all the hustle in the world, the money, the this and this and that. But when you put muscle behind it, a movement behind it, people knowing that you got a movement that's rocking with you, it does move a little difference, because fear is the greatest motivator. So it does move a little bit different, because the people that follow me or follow people, and I say follow, I don't mean in a way like, you know, I'm the pastor, but people that follow my work, they're a little bit more committed. It may not be the 2.1 million that somebody may get for being an entertainer somewhere, but the 100,000, 200,000 or five, whatever it is that somebody like me will have, you're talking about soldiers. You're talking about your return is going to be so much higher, because people that follow me don't just follow me because I'm cute, which I am cute, by the way. But thank you. I appreciate it. That was me giving you alley loop to go ahead and say, yes, I'm cute. But, but you know, it's people follow me because they want the information. So the engagement, the return on the engagement, is going to be a little bit more productive, because to get people to get involved, I may have to talk to 10,000 people. Out of 10,000, I'm lucky if I get 100. Out of the 100, 50 may show up. Yes, and out of the 50, 25 may do the work. Yes. That's how hard it is. So we have to cast our net so wide just to be able to get a small return.
Gee, do you like what I do on my page?
No, you're never too much. People are doing not enough, so you can never be too much. So when people tell me, oh, you're too much, you're doing too much, well, that's because you're doing too little. If you could step up and do more, then I wouldn't have to do so much. So there's never going to be too much, because the conversation always needs to get sparked. There's always going to need to be something. And most of the time, you know, like I tell people when I do a funny joke, you know, like I did a joke, oh, man, we just like, hey, 98% of my content is on something serious. I need the joke and laugh, too. So because of who you are, the majority of what you do is what you do. But every now and then, slip in that other thing, that other conversation. Yeah.
That's what I do on my page. It's funny you say that. That's what my page is. I'll do a little bit of music. I'll do a little bit of humor. And then I hit you with, this is what you need to know this week. This is what's happening this week in our lives. Right? You feel me? I got a sidebar for you.
L.A.
Are you in L.A.? Where are you?
I'm in Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta a lot.
So I got a special thing I want to share with you, that because I know you wonder what I got coming out of what I'm doing. So I'm going to tell you something that I want to share with you, and especially the SWB fans. I got this incredible EP coming where I've taken all my hits I have today's artist doing them, T. And it's ridiculously, it's fire. So I can't wait to have you come over. And then we can also talk about tracks, and I can play you stuff. Because I need you, the kind of person I got to interact with in person to see what you're feeling or not feeling. I can't do a whole lot of emailing and all that. We can do that in person and really do it. But what I want you to hear, as a fan that you are of SWV, I want you to hear this EP. And then we got some bonuses. I got an unreleased joint from SWV that the fans been wanting, called What Two Can Do. That's going to be on there. I got a brand new joint I'm about to do with SWV that they asked me to do I have. It's crazy. It's a whole nother thing, but it's a new SWV record that we're doing, right? And then, do you like PJ Morton? I know you probably like PJ. You know who that is? If you don't, you're going to find out. He's in Maroon 5 in his day job, but he has a solo deal. He's one of the dopest. He redid Always On My Mind.
So I got to give a shout out to Marcellus. He's my number one line pusher. He's in the comments, and I'm telling you, you want to know somebody to be holding you down and holding down SWV. After every show, he was over there arguing his ass off, you know, about
it. I love it. Shout out. Black, what's up? Okay, so I'm going to get you over here so you're going to understand when I play you what I got. And then, but then I'm hooking up. I'm trying to hook up with Larry Jackson.
I don't.
To help me put it out. Do you know Larry? So this is the thing. I'm in the middle of trying to get the business part of it done. And then Ebro is a good friend. Ebro is like my kid mm-hmm. brother. Me and Ebro came up in Sacramento together. I need you to help me get ask Charlamagne to holler at me. I should be on the breakfast.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to
want
to promote this when I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all I'm asking. Yeah. But I'm telling you right now, when
absolutely.
You come here, you're going to see what it is.
Yeah, I can't speak for, obviously, you know, the producers do what they do. But for sure, I definitely, you know, do what I can to say, you know, let's make this conversation happen. Because again, what you've done for the culture, and people just don't understand the writing side of it. And I don't follow, you know, a lot of writers and entertainment, because again, I only got so much time. So I don't know, you know, you have to really delve into that. But I know, you know, writers are just critically important, you know, to without a writer is nothing. You can have all the talent in the world.
Yes, ma'am. You don't have nothing without, that's it.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
So what's your favorite SNSD song? I always do this to females, especially. If you had to choose, weak. Rain or weak?
Yeah. I'm very quick about that.
Chose quick.
Give me another two to choose from. Let's play a game.
Okay. I'm suing you right here, Human Nature.
I know the hesitation.
You ain't even hesitating at all. Now, let me ask you that. Why right here over answering to you?
No, you didn't say I'm so into you. You said.
Yeah. I said right here, I'm so into you. It's for those two.
Okay. Yeah. I would say I'm so into you because even now, even that song now, if you're feeling your lover or you're feeling whatever and you're whatever, I can still listen to that. I'm so into you. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I literally, when you think about the lyrics of that song, you know, and you think about why you're with someone and why you probably shouldn't be and why it don't make sense, but Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Even though, by the way, I'm not a side piece, but but if you've ever dealt with any type of those songs resonate with me because if you've ever dealt with men with any challenges and any type of like, man, I don't know why I fuck with this nigga, but I do fuck with this nigga. So those types of songs that are something like 21 Questions or something like Sierra when she, Sierra, what's that joint I love with her and 50 Cent? That's one of my favorite. Her and 50 Cent.
I know what you're talking about. It's a real one. No, you're right. And Mark's out here throwing out album cut names. People do like Fine Time. That's one of my joints I did that they didn't release on the second album. It's I don't know if you know that one, T. It's called
what's
Fine
the song?
Time.
Because now I'm going to go crazy, Brian. I need to know the song with Throw It in the West, Hanging on the Chest. Can't leave him alone. Can't leave him alone. Yeah. So any song like that, even if we talk about Etta Mae, what's that song that she had? This old school.
Her single?
No, not Etta Mae. Old school. I'm talking about in the 50s. Etta James.
Oh, Etta James.
One song. Not last. It's another one.
At last?
Come on, Ryan. You a songwriter.
Yeah, so man.
Yeah. Hold on, I gotta look this up right quick because it's gonna drive me crazy. It's a song like that that's just
And it's wow.
No, I'm tripping.
No, I'm really
Aretha.
Oh
yeah.
Aretha.
Yes.
Oh, I love
Ain't
that.
No
song.
Way.
Oh my
God. No, I didn't.
Now, you know did you know I work with Aretha? You didn't know that. I worked with Aretha in the mid-90s. I went to Detroit, did three songs with her, Clive Davis.
Yeah, so when you come over, you'll see all that. Like that, that's, you know, that's just trying to understand why you're in love and why it may not make sense to somebody.
Ooh.
Why, you know, I'm old school. So, you know, really my favorite genre is the blues. So if I were to talk about when it gets into that type of stuff, like the Betty Wrights and the Millie Jacksons and the, you know, After the Pain and anything like that, those songs resonate with me very well. So that's why I would choose that one over the other. Right Here's a good one, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Somebody questioning why there's more people in this live.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them either. I mean, I think people get caught up, I guess, with numbers. I don't know the algorithm. Sometimes the algorithms pop up, sometimes not. But what I tell people is just be glad you're in this life. Like, I'm concerned about who else.
and I was right. And I was talking with
I don't know. Man, we so caught up on like who liking and who clicking and who sharing and who. And again, that's another point going to what I was saying a little while ago. You were watching my work and I had no clue. I've been in radio and television over 10 plus years and I would do shows on Blog Talk Radio with 5 people listening, 10 people listening. It never mattered to me what the numbers were. It's always mattered to what I was saying, what I was talking about, my purpose, because you never know who's listening down the road. So for anybody who asked that question, you're probably somebody, not in a negative way, but you're probably somebody that makes a lot of their choices based off of who's watching, who's seeing, who's this, who's that. That's one reason why oftentimes, you know, I'll go live without showing my face. I do that for a reason. I want people to hear what I'm saying. If people need to be entertained all the time and even look at me and, hey, I like your lipstick today, or I like your teeth, I like your eyes, I like this, I like that, they're not hearing what I'm saying. So I'd much rather have 5 people actually listening to me than 50 people watching me. So that's where my mindset always is. I can take, you see, any question I can take and turn into a purpose, because a lot of times you're just saying something, you don't even really realize like why you're saying what you're saying. So.
Right. And I know for a fact, I started with 5,000 followers a couple years ago, and I ain't got a whole lot of followers now, but I guarantee you them 33,000 that I just
hit
are real ones.
Yeah.
and the real ones, and because I haven't done any fake bullshit and none of that stuff, that I know for a fact these 33,000, and by the way, you know the algorithm doesn't let
you
all your followers see your shit, which is fucked up. But I guess
it's not about, and again, getting caught up on the followers. Again, another thing they was going back and forth with on the reality show. Followers versus best songs or impact. See, it's not always about how many people follow you, because if that's the case, every time you put out a record, it will be a hit record. The question is, where is the loyalty? Who made the biggest impact in your life? Who is it that's going to see, you know, actually going to say, I've been to SWV's concert before, I'm going to go again now that they're on tour. So it's about the impact. When I hear it, what does it remind me of? What does it take me back to? What is it, whatever? People get so caught up on followers and who watching. No. And I say it in politics all the time. I'm not interested in allies or accomplices. I like soldiers. That's why the Marine says it's a few good men. The Marines is the toughest branch in the United States Armed Forces. Why? Because everybody can't be a Marine. If you can't be a Marine, you can go to the Army. If you can't be an Army, you can go to the Air Force. If you can't do the Air Force, you can go to the Navy. That's the protocol. That's the hierarchy in our mind. I was in the Air Force, but it was because I couldn't take to be an MP in the Army. If I could have did Army, I would have did Army, but I could only do the Air Force based on because my hip line and my neck and all of that, even though I was very small, but my tape measurements, I couldn't get the tape for an MP. So I went to the next best thing. So it's a reason why infantry is set up a certain way, at least in politics. I would rather have, like Gideon's Army, 300 over 10,000. I would rather have a few that's going to move forward over a bunch that does nothing. So when you are moving in purpose, if you're an artist, policies, whatever it is, if you're an author, you want loyal people that every time your joint come out, they're going to rock with you. I only need That's right.
Right. I guarantee you're right. Here's why. At the end of the day, I know this for a fact. For the last, I'm going to say 18 years, and that's a lot, almost 20, way back when Chingy covered Rain and did Pulling Me Back, every time I try to leave, that was 2004, 2005, right? And then I did Week on JoJo, Little White Girl JoJo. This is 2005. That's already a decade ago, almost 20 years ago. But the deal is, even way back then, SWV's impact was clear. And so since then, T, every single week when I'm looking at this internet, somebody's always doing Week, somebody's always doing Rain. Universal, my publishing, they're always hitting me with requests for everybody trying to use these records. And then I look at the young producers that are producing beats, and Chris Brown and everybody, he got to join out right now, using Always On My Mind with Young Bleak. That was called The Baddest. Sexy motherfucker, you're the baddest one. That's Always On My Mind. So I know what these producers are using. They're using my shit over and over. You there, T? You still there? You still there? So look, on the real though, and I'm telling you, and it's not a flex. It's not a flex. That's just what they're doing. That's where the culture is. You can't make this shit up. You can't make people want to go use your shit. They do it because, you know why? And I think it goes back to what you were saying about impact. They don't sample Destiny's Child. They don't sample TLC. Yeah. They don't sample In Vogue. And this is not a diss. They don't sample Escape. They don't sample none of those joints. Why do they keep coming back sampling SWV over and over, interpolating them, or singing the joints on their TikToks? Or it's insane. Those records have an impact because I did it out of the spirit of absolute honesty and realness when I did them, the original stuff, right? And so when people go back to it, that feeling, they're trying to get back to that source of the realness.
That's right. You hit it on the nail. And that's why... when I have conversations about, like, you know, who's the greatest rapper and things like that, and I tell people I can't have, you know, there's always every year the discussion of Tupac and Biggie. And I always say, you know, that's going to be different for everybody, because the goal is for you to find what the goal is to you. But the reason, you know, that I look at, okay, what is my favorite? I'm weighing heavily on impact, not on just, you know, sales or who had the better flow or who whatever. And so when we have that debate, it's not me taking one from another, but I look at what Tupac's impact has been to my life, because obviously he was conscious, and not saying that Biggie was not, but he dedicated a lot of his time to the consciousness. And I loved not only his consciousness, but his contradiction in consciousness, how he would show that, hey, it's thug life, but then over here, Brenda got a baby. How here is, you know, I'm talking about some gangster shit, but then Right.
Keep your head up.
And I look at how young he was, and he was younger than what Malcolm X was before Malcolm X became Malcolm X. And I listened to what he was talking about. He said, "You give me 10 years, I'll have a political party." And so they were talking about what I try to do in politics, which is bring the streets together. So I started Concrete Roots. You know, I talked about Concrete Roots when I ran 10 years ago, which was off of Tupac, the rose that grew from concrete. And it was really an idea of going beyond what you hear in politics, grassroots, but really getting down to the concrete, the streets. What do they have to say about it? How do they want to be a part of it? And he's a huge motivation to me in that way. So that's going to be my greatest, you know, but your greatest could be whoever for whatever reason. So to me, impact is critical in those memories and those, you know, what did that bring back? You know, in cosmetology school, I can't forget, you know, I was listening to SWV today. You know, my boyfriend, I got a call in cosmetology class that he had passed away. So when you think about those things, what were you doing right before? Like, even if you say in bold, I remember a friend got killed. This was sixth grade. But I remember listening to Hold On. I'll never forget. I was getting some Kool-Aid out the refrigerator. Great Kool-Aid. So my mother always had Kool-Aid in the house. And I had a gray radio. And in bold was playing. And I was in grade school. It was the first time I knew somebody that got murdered. And I'll never forget because I picked up the phone and that song was in the background. So when I say songs are the track of your life, I mean it. Like that moment, what were you doing? What made you think this or that? You know what I'm saying?
Do you remember when you first heard
Out? I know, because once you fell in love with SWV, would Week, and also I was in the choir, so we obviously singing. So Week was also a song that we could really practice our vocals on, and we could really, you know, get our harmony on.
Wow.
That was like the song that to really see, like, if you really a soprano or an alto or whatever, those, you know, those were the songs you sang. That and, you know, Boys to Men, even as females, you know, we still would sing End of the Road, especially the end. So as somebody who loves singing, those were songs, because again, this ain't no shade, but we didn't use Escape as songs for harmony. And not saying they don't have harmony. I'm just saying those weren't songs. SWV had very clear, you know, harmony. Yeah.
Intricate.
Yeah. So intricate when you sing that record with your girlfriends, matter of fact, we did it when I did the in Atlanta, and Portia Williams was there, and Tamika did an event for Breonna Taylor, and Yandy was there. Oh, wow. And after we got done with the event, we all sat around the same week. Yeah, like that's
holy crap.
And even my daughter, who was 14 or 13 at the time, she knew the lyrics. So that's right. You're talking about something that's changed,
that's
like
for sure.
Over even generation. Because I asked my daughter, "What do you know about Week?" She's like, "Mama, everybody know Week."
Wow. And can I tell you that Jimmy Jam himself, who is a very dear friend of mine and one of my mentors, he called me out of the blue one day. He was like, "B, I was walking through my house and I looked in. My son was doing a paper on a computer and he kept playing all this SWV stuff." He said, "Why are you playing all this SWV?" He said, "I'm doing a paper on Brian Alexander Morgan." Mm-hmm. What the heck?
Wow.
Jimmy did. That's crazy to me. I'm like, oh my God. And then my friend Bobby Ross Avila, He was riding in his car with his kid, and he called me. He's like, "Man, my kid just like is singing all the lyrics to your joints," and he's like 10 or so. I'm
right,
you, like,
and then it's third generation. Sometimes music can even be the reverse, like where your parents, you can get your parents involved. Because I'll never forget what's the 411 hun when my mother picked me up playing that, and I was like, "You like that?" Yeah, and I was like, "You like that?" And she like Parents Don't Understand with Will Smith. That was her favorite like joint. Exactly. So sometimes it even flips on the parents where they'll pick up something. So those are the type of records that I'm talking about. You know, like how was that a life changer? Not just in your daily, like literally it was a part of the daily, but again, that's the nail. Everybody wanted nails like Coco. It was all about getting long nails. And then you had to go with the whole combat boots and the whole. So that's why when they was throwing the shade about like stepping up the wardrobe and all that, which I love how the ladies are now reinventing themselves. Yes.
Oh,
I have. I love how they reinvent themselves. But just to speak to that, when I heard that, because again, I'm always thinking deep. That was, to me, you didn't understand like what that looked. Or maybe you didn't. They had to because they were around them. But when I heard that, to me, that would be like saying, Stevie Wonder, you need to step up your shades or something. Or, you know, somebody that has, if we think about people that have like kind of an iconic, if we say Slick Rick, you need to take off your Kango. Your cane or your yeah. LL, why you wearing a Kango? Like, it wasn't right. It wasn't, I was getting the fashion of it all. You know, and whatever, but understand like what that meant to their brand and what that meant to us and how that changed women and what we felt and all of that. Cause I went and bought my black combat boots, like real talk. That was really, literally, that was the look.
I love it, man. And you know, what's so funny that you're saying that, because back in real time when that was happening, I remember thinking, because you remember TLC and went sexy. So I want my girls to be sexy. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, bitch. But to hear you talk, no.
That's it.
They didn't need to switch.
And it's
they
not
knew
that
they
we
were.
Didn't appreciate sexy, because again, when Lil' Kim came down the road, baby, I was Lil' Kim all over. I just knew I was going to. That's the one person I need to meet. I would want to meet Lil' Kim over the President of the United States, any President of the United States. That's how much she's impacted
that's
my life.
Hilarious. Can I tell you that I'm pausing for just a second, because the fact that this is why I love you, the fact that you just said military, cosmetology school, and a 14-year-old daughter, I'm done. You are a motherfucking real live superwoman, and that's why I fucks with you. Those are the three. My niece, I tried to get her to finish cosmetology. She couldn't even finish and do that. Like, come on, man. Yeah. That's a lot of stuff for such a young person.
And it's so interesting you said that, because that's what we were talking about yesterday when Ebony K. Williams was on the show and talking about, you know, a skill set. And she used cosmetology as an example. And again, you see how policies goes in everything, because that's something that Killer Mike, you know, advocates for all the time as well, and myself. So you don't have cosmetology programs like you used to in school. My daughter doesn't have it in her school, mm-hmm. and they only have it at a few scattered. And
how old is
she? 15.
How old is your daughter now?
And they have it. So, okay, and again, to take a note in what you said, just to make a point how everything relates to politics and how important it is. The reason why, you know, my mother told me you got to take cosmetology is because she was a cosmetologist. Now, she worked at, but that was not her only hustle. She worked at the news station. She was a secretary. And at home, she would come home and do curls and Jerry curls and wave.
Hey, She
sold for a buy real estate. She sold Herbalife. She did all of those things to make sure that we kept the house, you know, kept the house that I still own today, without it being foreclosed, without having to be on Section 8, all those things. She did notary. She opened up her own business called Creative Typing Service before Kinko's got popular. So she did all of the programs for the churches on a weekly basis. She typed 100 minutes per hour.
Wow.
So I'm sad to say that my mother instilled in me to always have a skill out of whatever it is that you're doing, have another hustle. Where did she get that from? Her mother was a cosmetologist. My grandmother just turned 92 yesterday. She's never worked for anybody in her life. She was a cosmetologist her whole life. It got her the ability to take care of herself, got her first when she was in a really, really bad marriage, marriage, she was able to say, hey, I'm going to go get a house. We're talking about in the 50s where the black people didn't get houses at all, and they certainly didn't get women. She got her own house. I'll never forget, she bought it for $7,500. I own that house today. She said, all I need to do is have a porch where I can do hair. Wow. Back then, you did a press and curl for $3. And she said, if I'm just able to have a house with a porch, I can move on in life. And then she married the grandfather that I know, who she was with for 30 plus years until he passed away. So I'm saying that to say that what cosmetology meant to me and my mother and my grandmother is more than just a cute hairstyle. It was freedom. So those are the type of things that I like to talk about, why politics is important, because it's politics to get these school boards to say, let's teach our boys to be, you know, what happened to the shop program? What happened to cosmetology program? What happened to having a skill outside of just going to college? You need these skills, because it's literally can be between life and death.
Right. Yeah. Well, on that note, I think we just covered almost everything.
Let me ask you for permission, and you feel free to say no. This was such a great, thoughtful conversation. Would you mind if I upload it to my podcast?
Yeah. Oh, please do. Are you kidding me?
Please do. Miss Morgan, because I like to do these things every time. It's not always a show, an interview, back and forth, but these types of conversations people appreciate and they love, and people that didn't get a chance to catch the live, I certainly, you know, you gave us some great, great insight, and we were able to love on each other. So guys, let us, before we close, yes. Let me say this, you know, with a lot of the conversations this week, a lot of the divisiveness that you think it is on social media, black men, black women, women like this, and black women don't do this, and black men don't do this. Let this be an example that in real life, black men and women do love on each other. Like people have to understand that in real life, absolutely, black men and women love on each other. And I know that for a fact because my page is literally 51% men and 49% women. So we have to have more real-time examples instead of just saying, oh, you know, they're dividing us. Well, you must don't know enough black men in your life, right, sis. Brother, they look at the women. Well, you must don't know enough black women in your life. Nobody commits more to the black man than the black woman. And I'm not talking about as your spouse. I'm talking about as your mother, your aunt, your sister, your friend, your whatever. Even if you had a black woman in your life that failed you, there was a black woman somewhere praying for you. Even had a black woman that didn't do what she was supposed to do, there was a black woman that put $10 in your tank. Even if it was a black woman, the same thing goes for black men as well. Even if that man failed you, your daddy failed you, your husband may have failed you, your boyfriend failed you, you still got a brother somewhere that failed you, that uplifted you, whether they was at your job, whether that was a man that opened up the door for you, whether that was your mechanic around the corner. We have got to, I'm preaching now, but we have got to get to the understanding that whoever in life failed you, there's somebody to uplift you. And so we are not uplifting each other and pausing to say, hey, Ms. Morgan, I appreciate what you put in the game. I appreciate, let me take a moment to let you know the songs that you wrote with the pen made an impact. In fact, in my poem, I said, write down my vision in the sand like Jesus did with spit. I make enemies ill, real sick, perform exorcism shaking fits. Forget five star, I'm a non-planet universal chick. When you talk about that, see, I understand what writing means. When you write it in the sand, when you write it, I understand what a communicator is. Abram was the communicator. It wasn't just Moses by himself. He said, I'm going to send you a communicator. I'm going to send you somebody to know how to talk that talk. When we partner with each other, now you're talking about freeing our people for real. But if I don't know who the Moses is, and you don't know who the communicator is, and vice versa, because we all sit in our silos, we don't get nowhere.
Come on. Come on. It don't
made a little watch between little me watch and thee while we're absent. So you didn't think I knew the benediction. One from another. I love you.
Pete, I love you.
You heard it right here on Straight Shot No Chaser with Tesla and Figaro, the one and only. And where can they find you, look you up, all of that podcast?
I'm BB underscore A underscore Morgan. Brian Alexander Morgan on Instagram.
All right.
I'm on Twitter at Real Brian Morgan.
So if you like what you heard on Straight Shot No Chaser, please subscribe and drop a 5-star review and tell a friend. Straight Shot No Chaser is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. I'm Teslin Figaro, and I'd like to thank our producer, editor, mixer, Dwayne Crawford, and our executive producer, Charlemagne the God. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.